I've wanted to start with that song for so long. Hi, folks. It is Wednesday night, a little bit after 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. It's Wednesday night at 9. You must be listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken. See, I know what you're waiting for right now. You're waiting to hear, and I'm Becca. But you don't have Becca tonight, folks. You are stuck with just Ken. It is snowing like crazy here in Vermont, snowing like crazy, which I hear it happens a lot, and Becca could not get her car out of the driveway. So I thankfully drive a big hulking ozone-killing SUV, so I'm here with you tonight without a co-host, which means that if there are rules, they will be broken. So if you want to give me a call, keep me company, give me a ring at 802-246-6107, and I would be thrilled to speak with you for a little bit, because in about 20 minutes, we're going to have tonight's guest, and you will notice I will say we constantly, because I pretend that I'm not by myself. Tonight's guest is Michael Bastian, famed fashion designer Michael Bastian. I'm thrilled to be welcoming him onto tonight's show. So, what do we want to start with? First, let's start with the most important news of the week. It's my mom's birthday today. Happy birthday, Mom. There you go. And also to correct some of my misinformation from last week, I was speaking with Becca about a Facebook group that has truly like 140,000 members in it, and everyone should check it out. And I mangled and bungled the name, so I wanted to give folks the correct Facebook group shout out. And the name of the group is The Word Gay Is Not a Synonym for Stupid. So go onto Facebook, go check out the group that's called The Word Gay Is Not a Synonym for Stupid, and check out all the really cool conversations that are happening on there. It's not just about deterring the use of the phrase "that's so gay," though that's a central focus both for me and for these folks. There's also a number of different avenues for people to talk about any number of LGBT issues. So definitely go check that out. So that's one shout out. Definitely wanted to give another shout out to another really cool website that people should check out. It's called Be Your Own Queero. And so you go to http://queero. So it's BeYourOwnQueero.com. And that's a group that is based out of Wilmington, North Carolina, where group of just amazing folks who are creating some LGBT community down there. And we're thrilled that we have a little partnership going on where I'll give them a shout out. They'll post our podcast. It's all good stuff. So check out their site because they have some just a really cool dialogue going on right now that's all about not being in the scene. And I very much appreciate that because there's a lot of different voices in the LGBT community. And this is another one. So check out BeYourOwnQueero.com. And that's it for the shout-outs for tonight, because I'm all by myself, so I got to get to some news. What do we want to start with? And then I'll wait for an answer. What do we want to start with? Silence. So I'm going to go with one of the local stories that I was really pleased about. LGBT, we say a lot LGBT community, but there are many letters in that LGBT that don't get as much press coverage, as other letters. And one of those letters is the letter T for transgender. So thrilled to feature a number of transgender stories on tonight's show. One of them is a local one. It's coming out of Massachusetts. And the story reads that the Massachusetts Transgender Political Coalition, the MTPC, is pleased to announce that the Massachusetts Registry of Motor Vehicles has amended its policy regarding changing gender markers on state-issued identifications, such as driver licenses or Massachusetts ID. The new policy requires a person who wishes to change the gender marker on their state-issued ID to submit an updated application together with a gender designation change form signed by him or her and a medical provider attesting to the gender that the individual considers himself or herself to be. And the cool part about this is that under the old policy, folks had to submit medical proof of sex reassignment surgery or an amended birth certificate. And that's not necessarily where someone who identifies as transgender wants to go in terms of their documentation or even in terms of their choices of having a sex reassignment surgery. So we applaud, Ken and Becca in absentia, the Massachusetts Registry of Motor Vehicles, who made a really cool change on behalf of the transgender community, and definitely want to applaud the Massachusetts Transgender Political Coalition, who it looks like worked extraordinarily hard to make that change happen. So change can happen, folks. Change can happen. You just got to work at it a little bit. So that's a great example of folks looking to make life a little bit easier and a little more consistent. And so we applaud them for that. So well done over there in Massachusetts. So there was that. And that was a really good story. I have a number of fashion stories tonight. I tried to find some gay fashion stories to talk to Michael Bastian about. And surprisingly, it was surprisingly easy. There's a lot of gay fashion stories out there. And we'll talk about with him why that is. A lot of stories right there out there right now on Proposition 8 and whether or not it should go back on the ballot in 2010. And the poll this week on one of the gay websites was, should the Proposition 8 a repeal go on the ballot in 2010, exactly what I just said. And the overwhelming majority of folks did say yes. 72% of them said yes, it should go on 2010. 15% were not sure. And 14%, which is not nothing, that's a percent, that's a whole number in double digits, said no, it's too soon, exclamation point. And that's been a lot where the criticism has been about whether or not this should go right back on the ballot initiatives, because I'm not sure that folks have a handle on why it failed the first time. So should they really go back and put it on the ballot again without figuring out, all right, so what is it that just happened and how can we prevent that from happening again? And then, as I said last week, there's also a growing initiative to just get rid of ballot measures altogether, that they're not really a great representation of how the people feel. So let's get rid of them and figure out how to get equal rights for gay people in some other way other than ballot initiatives. So that's going on out there in California. Keep an eye on that, and we will keep an eye on that and report back to you. So I think what I'm going to do is get to some music straight away, and tonight's musical selections are provided by our guest, Michael Bastian, famed fashion designer. So I promise I won't use that accent when he's on, because I'll sound like an idiot. So this is a song called Lost by the Mary Onettes. So enjoy it.
Yeah.
That was a song called Lost by the Marionettes. Hopefully I'm saying that right. As chosen by Michael Bastian, our guest, who will be here in about, I don't know, 8 or 9 minutes. He'll be calling in. All will be well with the royal world. I won't stumble over my words like I'm doing now. Some other stories. I feel like we're just going to revisit Don't Ask, Don't Tell every single week. I'll give you an update on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. This week's update is yet another group saying, hey, this is a dumb policy. Get rid of it. It doesn't work. It's not doing what you want it to do. Get rid of the policy. So this week's player in the Get Rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell game is the American Psychoanalytic Association, who is calling on Congress to, shocker, repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the law that bars gays from serving openly in the military. At their convention this month in New York City, they passed a resolution opposing the ban. They said, quote, it is the position of the APSA that sexual orientation is not germane to any aspect of military effectiveness, including unit cohesion, morale, recruitment, or retention. Seriously, what is it we're not getting right now? The soldiers are saying, hey, it doesn't really matter to us. I'm not exactly sure who it is that's out there right now that's saying we need to keep this policy. It is working. All the studies show that it's not working, that people are getting kicked out of the military even more under Don't Ask, Don't Tell than they did before it. And I'm not even going to go there with the whole Bill Clinton compromise, because I've gone off on that many a time in the past. That was a huge just blow to the gay community. But yeah, get rid of the ban. Other countries don't have it. There's no effect on morale. There's no effect on unit cohesion. There's no effect on recruitment and retention. Get rid of the ban. So there's that. And then one other story that I thought was really interesting. So one of the things that happens when two people get married is it increases the probability astronomically when two people get married that they perhaps might get divorced. The problem is some states haven't figured out how to deal with gay divorce. Case in point right now is Texas, which I just think is a funny place to figure this out. A Dallas man legally married in Massachusetts is apparently the first in Texas to file a lawsuit to obtain a divorce of his same-sex marriage. Texas, as some of you know, has a constitutional ban that prohibits recognition of same-sex unions. Doesn't happen in Texas. That includes marriages from other states. Texas plans to oppose the divorce proceeding on the grounds that the marriage, quote, does not legally exist. It is a unicorn. It doesn't exist. And that's according to a statement from the Texas Attorney General, Greg Abbott. So that's just funny. That's just funny. In some ways, Texas is saying, you know what, you need to keep your marriage together because we kind of don't have a way for you to get divorced. So work it out. Whatever's going on with you two guys, you need to sit down in a room and look each other in the eye. It's very important that people sit on eye level when working out these issues. If one person is standing and one person is sitting, that is unequal. So these two gentlemen need to sit down and work out their issues, because Texas will not honor their divorce. So in my happy place, the Texas Attorney General, Greg Abbott, is helping them work out these issues, because he's not sure what else to do for them. So if you enter into a same-sex union of some sort, know that there are states where you can't get divorced. So you need to, if you're moving together, move solidly with your relationship, because it could go very, very much awry. So if you want to talk about that, you should give me a call, 802-246-6107. As always, there are a number of ways to check out our show, check out past podcasts. The best way to find all of the latest information on This Show Is So Gay with Ken and the currently absent Becca, but normally here Becca, is to go to our website, which is www.thisshowisogay.com. Very easy to remember. If you're having trouble remembering it, go to Zazzle.com and type in This Show Is So Gay and get yourself a t-shirt. Get yourself a magnet. Remind yourself, oh no, I have not gone to the website this week. I should see what's going on with Ken and Becca. What hilarity has happened? Did they go to the diner? Did they not go to the diner? Who knows? So definitely check out all those things, and always go to Facebook, because that's where you can find all the latest goings-ons. So I'm going to play another song for you, as requested by tonight's guest, Michael Bastian. This is a song called Where Happiness Lives, and it's by Evan Johansson, which will be correct on the podcast. And This is where happiness lives. And we're going to find out together, where is it that happiness lives? Let's find out. That was Where Happiness Lives by Evan Johansen, as requested by tonight's guest, Michael Bastian, who's going to be calling in just a few minutes. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play another song for folks. We want another Michael Bastian tune just right this very second. Normally we don't do two songs in a row. We're doing it right now. Becca's not here. There are no rules. This is a song called Human, and it is by The Killers, who I think we've actually played before. So we're playing another one of their tunes. Here you go.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the line. Up to the platform of surrender, I was brought but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, clear your heart.
sign is vital. My hands are cold and I'm on my knees looking for the answer. Are we human or are we dancer?
I think it's time to welcome a guest. Caller, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Fantastic. Now you just have to sit there, though, and wait for me to introduce you.
Okay, no problem.
It's long-winded, but it's stuff that you know.
Okay.
Okay. Folks, as I've been saying all night, I am most pleased to welcome Michael Bastian to our show. Michael Bastian, as many of you know, because you've already been calling in tonight, happy about it, is an award-winning designer whose designs are carried everywhere from the U.S. to Canada to Japan to Europe, the Middle East. He was nominated for the 2008 Council of Fashion Designers of America Menswear Designer of the Year, as well as that same organization's newcomer Menswear Designer of the Year in 2007. He was also a finalist. It's a lot, Michael. It's a lot to read.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to keep going, though.
Okay, keep going.
You're still with me.
Yep.
Okay. As well as the 2007 Council of Fashion Designers of America Vogue Fashion Fund Award. He is currently the creative director for Menswear at Bill Blass and was recently featured as one of the Out Magazine Out 100, and Out Magazine wrote about him in that little piece. Quote, he's well on his way to becoming the next Ralph Lauren. How do you feel when you hear that?
Well, those are big shoes to fill, but that would be great, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be fantastic. I think you're on your way. But first, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Well,
thanks for calling in, Michael.
Thank you so much for asking me to come.
What's the weather like there in New York?
It's freezing and snowy and rainy, so I think we all have the same thing.
So I'm not by myself in this.
No. You might have it worse. You're in Vermont, right?
Yeah.
So
Well, I still say it with disdain. I moved up here from New York City, so I'm still getting used to all this snow.
Okay. Well, I'm from upstate New York, where we always had like 2 feet of snow on Halloween, so this is nothing for me.
Well, there you go. I feel a little bit better now.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Michael, I have so much to talk to you about. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First, tell everyone all the music we've been playing tonight. Tell them where it's all coming from.
Oh, well, the song that I gave you kind of the key song from our... Where did we start? Was it Fall 08 and then Spring 09?
Oh, yeah.
Fall 09, and I even gave you, like, a song that we're using for Fall 10. Because, you know, every designer really always has kind of like a playlist they just listen to when they're designing a season. It kind of keeps you on track.
Absolutely.
You know, you have your vibe, you have your inspiration of the season. And, you know, there's always music that kind of goes along with that in your head. And, you know, sometimes those songs end up in your runway presentation. Sometimes they just are, you know, you're on your iPod. But what I gave you guys was kind of the key inspiration songs for each of those seasons. So
what I hear you saying, Michael, is that it's okay that I was strutting around the studio like I was on a runway.
I hope you were. They were meant to do that for you.
I've been told that I have a really strong walk. Michael, I've never been told that, but it felt really good to say.
It ain't easy.
Have you done it?
I've tried it, and I'm really bad at it. But, you know, this is the funny thing. Like, my straightest friend is actually the best walker.
Look at that.
Yeah, you know, so you never know.
You never know. Well, happy week after inauguration.
Oh, isn't it amazing?
Where were you watching it?
I was in Italy at the time.
No, you weren't.
I was in Italy on Saturday, so I'm still a little jet lagged.
Wow.
There for like 21 days. But it was so amazing, like, kind of experiencing that over there, because I was watching Italian TV and flipping back and forth to BBC. So, you know, I'm getting, like, the British point of view, the Italian point of view, and you kind of realize this is such an enormous deal to the entire world.
Absolutely.
And everyone is so excited, and it was just so great, and I was just so proud, finally.
Well, can I tell you about a group that was not so happy?
Who?
It was, and I don't want to get this wrong, one of the co-founders, well, the entire, the Black Artists Association. Did you hear about this?
No.
They talked to Women's Wear Daily.
Oh, yeah, because Michelle Obama didn't wear a black designer.
How do we feel about that?
That, you know what? The way people dress, the way they pull themselves together is such a personal thing that I don't think you can, you know, go down that road.
It didn't occur to me. First of all, I had no idea that there was even a Black Artist Association. Are there different communities within the fashion community that bond together in that way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything's sliced up a million different ways, and there's a million different groups that are going to, you know, kind of stand up for their group. But, you know, like, all designers have gotten a lot of, you know, it's been called out lately that, like, people are not using enough people of color in their runway shows and things like that. And, you know, sometimes that this is a very valid, you know, point to bring up, and sometimes it's, you know, it's not as valid, I think. And I think, like, as far as what Michelle Obama wore, you know, when it's so important, like, to her personally, she just has to pick the best dress. And I think that's got to be kind of a blind choice.
Now, I feel like I'm going to get made fun of hardcore for saying this, but is there a gay group of fashion designers, or is it just kind of the majority?
Aside from the entire thing, you know, I don't... I think, like, the gays are well represented in fashion.
They're doing fine.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, we're fully represented.
Okay, because I was a little worried.
No.
It's not just you, then.
No,
it's more than you. So, and then one of the other LGBT stories, I was really looking for some LGBT stories in fashion this week to bring up to you.
They're all LGBT.
Yes. So it was hard to really find them because it was just saturated. But one of the other cool stories that I'm sure you heard about happened down in Rio with the transgender model who walked the runway for a brand called, and I think I'm going to get this wrong, so you're going to have to correct me, was it Complexo B?
Oh, God. You know, I don't know that brand.
I don't know. Okay.
You know, as far as transgender models go, mm-hmm. You know, one of my favorite models ever, I don't know if people remember this, but there's a big Steven Sprouse revival going on at the moment, and he was the first one that I think, you know, who knows who was transgendered and who wasn't back in the day.
Right.
Because they just could have been amazing and no one knew and they never told anyone. But Steven Sprouse used a model called Terry Toy. And Terry Toy was kind of the first out openly transgendered model. And she was amazing. Like, 6'3", beautiful, perfect, like, long blonde hair. And I always wonder what happened to her. And now there's retrospectives of Stephen Sprouse going on, and someone found her, and she's living in the Midwest as, like, a housewife.
Look at that.
Happy that she kind of dropped out. And it was so great to hear that she's around and happy and had her moment, and now she's doing another, you know, stage of her life. And it was just so great and wonderful and affirming, you know, that, you know, she did this. And wouldn't it be great if that there were more like her?
Well, see, and then so this week, the model's name is Patricia Araujo. I'm sure I'm going to bungle that name. And a designer for the line, Beto Neves, said he invited Araujo to amaze the public, quote, in fashion, the cool thing is to surprise. Do we subscribe to that theory?
Well, you know, sometimes it helps and sometimes it doesn't. Like, show something that no one's ever seen before, but...
Absolutely.
You know, in menswear, it's a little different than women's wear.
See, I'm going to get completely off the whole LGBT topics now because I'm fascinated by menswear.
Mm-hmm.
My frame of reference is, you know, kind of Project Runway, but... That's only between me, you, and whoever's listening. And they get really upset there on Project Runway when they have a menswear challenge.
Yeah. Well, so few designers go to school to study menswear. It's really a shame. But, you know, the men's business is totally different from the women's business. And it goes back to how men shop versus how women shop. You know, women are a lot more likely to, you know, kind of suspend their self concept of themselves, mm-hmm. to take on a different role, to take on a different personality. And that's amazing for women's designers because it can be much more fantasy. You can do things, and, you know, women can, you know, kind of be a vixen one day and they can be like a secretary the next day, and that's kind of fun. They're more likely to, you know, be open to playing around with their self-image. Men tend to want to look like themselves, only a better version of themselves. So, you know, men shop totally differently. You know, they're less open to, mm-hmm. taking on a new personality. You know, and I think that all kind of goes back to what we as a culture or society appreciate about men and what we appreciate about women. And, like, I think men, in general, we appreciate more, like, you know, stability, consistency, you know, a sense of humor.
Absolutely.
Like, women, it's more like, you know, being a little more unexpected, a little more exotic, a little more... you know, unexpected. So, you know, it all goes back to that and how we're raised and, you know.
And gay men can ratchet it up a notch with the menswear.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, in general, I'm talking like all men in general.
Absolutely. Well, we had Sean Hollenbach, a New York City comedian, on about a month ago. And
yeah.
When the story first broke that there was going to be an LGBT band in the inauguration. And so we had Sean design their outfits for them.
Oh, how funny.
We would rather you do that.
Well, there's a lot of...
Because it was just sequins.
Wear my stuff.
Well, how would you design the LGBT bands? I mean, it's over now, and I assume that they were dressed to the nines, but...
This is the crazy thing. You know, like, how do men want to look? And, you know, it all kind of goes down to, like... It all, at the end of the day, boils down to, like, what's going to get me laid. You know, everyone just wants to look more attractive. You know, straight men, gay men, everybody. You know, what's going to make me stand out?
I'm sure I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, you know, no, it all goes back to, like, how I feel about myself. How
Absolutely.
I feel about themselves. If I feel, like, strong and sexy and confident, and I project that, you know, you're going to get the payout at the end of the day. And... you know, this also goes back to how men dress. Like, I tend to think, you know how, like, a lot of guys stay frozen in a look?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my dad. My dad is from, like, say, the Armani generation. So he really feels like it begins and ends with Armani because he saw American Gigolo. He probably bought that, you know, mushroom-colored suit.
And it all came out of that.
Bar, and, like, you know, he's never going to let go of it. This is, like, what... worked for him, and you don't let go of it.
Mine is a little bit more, yeah, my style's a little bit more Heather's, and I seem to not have let go of that. But that's okay.
For you.
It works.
That's valid. Like, if you are comfortable in that, you know, this is the thing. Like, I never think guys have to, like, just wear my stuff or wear anyone's stuff. It's like, whatever makes you feel cool and confident is going to work for you. You know, and it could be, some. You know how sometimes you go to a party and it could be like, a guy who's not the most attractive guy in the room, but is the one that comes up and says hello first and has a good story and, you know, charms you, like, that really works.
That's,
you
know? It.
I hate to say it, but it works.
All right. I'm going to, that's going to be our lesson for the night.
It means, like, it has nothing to do with money or looks. It's really, like, who you are and what you project.
Well, one of the topics we've had the opportunity to talk about is the intersections between different LGBT politics and a lot of different aspects of culture. And we've talked to amazing singers, and we've talked to hilarious comedians and all different types of folks. And you are our first representative from the fashion industry.
Oh, great.
So how is there any intersection in your work between kind of, where is the intersection with politics? Does everything going on in the world right now affect the way that you create?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about this lately, because right now we're going to have our Follow 9 runway show, mm-hmm. and the stores have started buying, and the reporters have been calling, and they always say, like, well, how does this collection reflect what's going on in the world right now? And, you know, part of it is really amusing to me, because I see what other designers are saying, and they're saying, okay, well, we think that people are going to want to, you know, really pull back and not spend, or people are going to want to, you know, people are going to want to be strong and aggressive and wear all black. And, you know, part of it's bullshit, because we've all been working on the collection we're showing right now since, like, July,
right.
You know, before the world fell apart.
Right.
But then the other part of it is, what I really think is, we're all going to get through this in our own particular personal way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you, you know, whatever makes you feel good and makes you feel, you know, a little more safe and secure, you know, some people are going to go to the gym more, some people are going to shop more, some people are going to drink more. You know, it's, everyone's going to get through this in their own way, and as a designer, all I can do is keep doing what I do, and whoever has responded to that in the past is going to appreciate that I'm remaining consistent to what I do. You know, so I think I always feel like my customer, you know, is a little more introspective, thinks about things a little more, you know, like with my clothes, there's not logos all over it.
Right.
All the tricks are on the inside. You know, there's a lot of poetry references in it. And, you know, I think my personal customer is kind of going inside a little more and just thinking, you know, how can I use this weird time in the world to kind of refocus my priorities? You know, what am I going to give up? What's not necessary to me anymore? You know, and I just feel like we're all going to get through this by figuring out what's important to us and being better to other people.
And there's also an aspect, and you just have to tell me if I'm wrong, because mm-hmm. I don't want to narrate your shows for you, but there's an aspect to escapism. I was watching some runway shows on YouTube of yours, and there's just this amazing aspect of just being enthralled and being in that moment. And I mean, I don't know if conversations about Proposition 8 stop for the runway show and then start up again after it's over. But it just seems like this amazing aspect of people being able to gather together to appreciate an art, mm-hmm. In spite of everything else going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really great to watch.
People kind of, you know, when you're talking about clothes and fashion, you're really talking about people's self-image of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's some people it's very important to, and some people other things are important to. And, you know, it's hard to generalize, but if that type of thing is important to you, like how you look and the clothes you wear and how they're made and the story behind them, you know, it's only going to become more important when, you know, the world's falling apart.
Absolutely.
And you're kind of clinging to what matters to you.
So where's the next show? Where are people going?
The next show is going to be on February 16th in
okay.
New York City, and we're so excited about it. It's only our second runway presentation.
Wow.
So we're still kind of new with this.
Is there one piece where you're like, that's the one I really want to see going down?
There's a couple really funny pieces. I'm going to give you like a lot of like world preview
okay.
info here, because I've been really keeping this under my hat.
This is really the show to break this on, let me tell you, Michael, because people, we get calls all the time.
The next collection is based really, well, it started, you know, here's the thing. You work on a collection 6 months, and
right.
your inspiration changes like 10 times between when you start and what comes out the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because it lets you, if you are kind of open to what comes and goes in your life, I think it makes for a more relevant collection at the end of the day.
Sure.
So this collection kind of started with the book On the Road. Now, we've all read On the Road.
Yeah.
And it's a really hard book. I've had a hard time with it. And
not so easy.
It's not so easy at all. But an amazing thing just happened, that it is now available on iTunes. You can download the book, you know, on iTunes. So I was listening to the book, and now they also have the original scroll, Jack Kerouac's original scroll. And what's amazing about this is On the Road had to be presented as a work of fiction, because it really is a real story. Like, this is Jack Kerouac writing about himself and his friends at this very specific time, like Allen Ginsberg.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone. And when it came time to publish the book, none of these people wanted this story written with their name on it, so they had to change all the names. They had to take out a lot of the gay content.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a great book, but it was generally kind of a work of fiction that everyone kind of knew there were real parts to. Well, now the original scroll is the real unedited story of these guys' lives. And, okay, so not only is it a lot easier to be read to, you know, I love being read to anyways, and like this books on tape thing when you travel a lot is an amazing
thing. That works.
But, you know, to also have the real story and realize this is not a work of fiction. Okay, so the whole collection started out with On the Road, and that idea of kind of being so free that it was nothing to just decide, I'm going to hitchhike to Colorado from New York today. You know, it was a different time in the world, a different time in America, where, like, who hitchhikes now, you know?
Michael, up here in Vermont.
Do they still hitchhike up there?
It's the weirdest thing. I'm telling you, I remember, every time I see a hitchhiker, I remember an episode of Different Strokes.
Yeah.
Where they were hitchhiking and they were kidnapped and it was terrible. And I don't understand why everyone doesn't think that when they're hitchhiking, but
exactly.
I think that's the gay part of me.
Exactly. But then you read this book and they hitchhike at like the drop of a hat. They go across the country.
Yeah.
And it was a weird time. The country was a lot bigger and a lot smaller, but there was like this trust level that no one's going to kill you. You know, when you get in a car, you tell your story, you don't know where you're going to end up, but... So it started out with that idea of getting from here to there, and the mm-hmm. idea, if you're living out of a duffel bag, what is so important to you that you would drag from one end of the country to the other? And, you know, the clothes would be kind of random. It would just be the things you love. You know, so we kind of took that as a jumping off point. Well, then I saw Milk recently.
Yeah.
And
so good.
I kind of fell back in love with Gus Van Sant.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of been off my radar a little bit. And I rewatched My Own Private Idaho, and I was kind of realizing My Own Private Idaho has a lot of parallels with On the Road, and a really smart comparative literature major could really write a great paper on that. And
we're going to assign that as homework for our listeners.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
So all of this Gus Van Sant, My Own Private Idaho things crept into the collection kind of at the last moment, like in the last months that I was pulling it together. And it kind of made the whole thing relevant, and it kind of made it more three-dimensional than two-dimensional and a little more modern. And, you know, it kind of just rounded the whole thing out. So now that's a very, very, very long explanation of the collection, which is kind of a little On the Road, a little My Own Private Idaho, but generally just the idea of, what do I really need to take with me in my duffel bag as I get from here to there? What's the most important thing to me? You know, and I think in a weird way, even though it wasn't how the collection started or I didn't intend to have it relevant to the times we're living in, but, like, we're all in this journey, and we know we've got to get from here to there. We just got to live through the next year or 2 years.
Yeah.
So what's important to us? What are we going to take on this journey? So that's what we're about to show on February
6th. That is so exciting. So you're doing last-minute touch-ups.
I'm really into this one. I just feel like a lot of things came together. The collection's beautiful.
And don't you feel better now that you told the gay show about it?
I am. My brothers and sisters.
We'll be there. We're there in spirit.
Well, it'll be up on my website like a day or two after we do the show. So.
And do you find after the shows that people say to you, you know, this was great, but you really should show in Vermont. That's really the mecca of the fashion world.
But I love Vermont.
There's Milan, but there's, you know, there's Vermont.
There's Vermont.
I think you could make the Birkenstocks work up here.
Oh, God, we love all that stuff. We always...
Michael, it has been an absolute pleasure having you call into our show.
Pleasure's mine.
We wish you all the best with the show. It really sounds like a journey, and I'm thrilled that you were able to share it with us, and we're going to go on that journey with you.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. All the best with the show, and hope to speak with you again.
Same here.
Good luck, Michael.
All right. Thank you.
All righty. Gosh, I could just play that song all night. I have such vivid memories of that video coming out with all the famous supermodels. And come on, that's a Michael Bastian song if ever there was one. So huge thank you to Michael Bastian. It sounds like just an amazing show detailing quite the incredible journey. So if folks are in the New York City area, you should definitely check that out. And you should go to michaelbastiannyc.com. And check that out. Do not go to michaelbastian.com. That's some sort of hedge fund planner and not someone who's probably going to be on our show. So don't go there. It's not what we're about. Although if he wants to support us financially, that's fine too. Well, let's see. We're getting towards the end of our show. Time to get angry. It's a regular segment now, especially that I'm here by myself. One of the stories that came out that really irked me and that I wanted to talk about was the California, one of the California appeals courts ruled that a Christian high school can expel students because of an alleged, keyword, alleged, lesbian relationship. The 4th District Court of Appeals in Riverside on Monday, this past Monday, upheld California Lutheran High School's right as a private religious organization to exclude students based on sexual orientation. Two girls had sued, claiming that they were discriminated against after they were expelled from the school in 2005. One of the lower courts said that the school isn't bound by the same anti-discrimination laws as a business establishment. And one of the attorneys for the school said the school's goal is to educate based on a Christian principle. It really is quite remarkable. What they found is that you can be Jewish in a Christian school, and that's fine. That's consistent with Christian principles. But if you are in an allegedly a lesbian relationship, you are out. And I don't get it. That's a Christian principle that I thought it was a Christian principle that we're supposed to love each other. Didn't I read that somewhere? I mean, I'm a gay Jew living in Vermont. What do I know? But I'm fairly sure it says that somewhere in the Bible. So people should check that out. It just seems ridiculous at this point that a school would say flat out that the non-discrimination statements that are at, you know, every other educational institution don't apply here because we're a faith-based institution. If anything, the faith should be in treating students equally and not kicking them out and denying them that type of education that they are seeking because of an alleged lesbian relationship. And hey, let's go a step further because it's the end of the hour and I can get angry. Take away the word alleged, even if they were in a lesbian relationship, if they are choosing to go to that school and get that education, it's a private school. So I also assume pay that money. It just seems ridiculous to say based on principles, I'm sorry, you cannot attend this school. That is disruptive. Ridiculous and silly. So that made me really angry when I saw that. And another piece that I wanted to tell folks to check out was gettoknowmefirst.org. And that's also your homework, in addition to doing the literary analysis that Michael Bastian told you about. Check out gettoknowmefirst.org. It's one of those websites. We talked about it about a month ago. It was created to promote marriage equality in California. And you can actually go on YouTube, and it has all the different clips from the PSAs from gettoknowme.org. It's really quite interesting how this is their strategy of one of the strategies to create marriage equality was to break down, demystify what it is, what a gay relationship even is. I have a little bit of qualms about this just because I still think it should be whythehelldoyoucare.org should promote marriage equality and not, oh, I guess people have to get to know us in order to support equal rights for everybody. But that's actually not the point of the story. The point of the story is that with these PSAs that are out there right now, some television stations are refusing to air them because they're claiming that the material is not suitable for family viewing. To know why this irks me and why this makes me so angry, you truly have to go to YouTube and check out these clips and check out why these clips, how they are, people are saying that they're not suitable for family viewing. Seriously, go and check them out, and then I want you to laugh because compare them to what's going on Desperate Housewives or one of the other shows that I don't really watch but I know has fairly racy content. It's laughable. So we are still at the point where portraying a gay couple automatically means not suitable for family viewing. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. We shouldn't end with anger. Let's end with some peacefulness. It's snowing outside. You're listening to WVEW LP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. I mean, what's more peaceful than that? So, you know, maybe next week we're going to end more peacefully, but I wouldn't count on it if I were you. Next week we have an amazing show for you. Casper Andreas is going to be on the show, and that's just huge. And I'm feeling pretty confident that Becca's going to be back. So you should tune in next week. You should check out our website. This show is sogay.com. Recommend it to some friends. I wish you all just the most amazing rest of your week. If you are out there in the snow, go play in it. Go enjoy the snow. Try not to drive in it. It's a little scary. If you're driving by Becca's house, if you could plow her out, that would be fantastic. I would really appreciate it because it's fun having a co-host. That's it for me, folks. You've been listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken. Becca says good night. Have a great week. And that's pretty much it. Bye, folks.
Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow.